throughout the 60s and 70s.
From abortion to inflation, the issues in our local elections have far-reaching implications. We're breaking these issues down on The Homestretch, Odyssey's new original podcast. I'm Doug Sovereign. Each week, I'll talk to a range of experts to give you a no-fuss 15-minute download of the most pressing issues on this year's ballots. Listen to The Homestretch on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh my goodness, it is Center Stage. Oh, I'm so excited to be here in this hour. I'm so sorry I wasn't here for 7 to 9 o'clock, but of course, with the games and all that is happening, I'm so excited. But we have a great lineup for you tonight. And of course, we're going to start with Rohan Preston, the lead theater critic at the Star Tribune. And if we're going to talk about Center Stage, we got to talk to Rohan. How you doing, sir?
I'm well, thank you. Welcome. How are you?
I'm doing great. Here's the thing I want to talk to you about. I know that there are a lot of unique shows that are happening, and some of the theaters are really rethinking what do we need to talk about through the words and the scenes and the show itself on some of the stages around this state. And I'm blown away by it. I started thinking about the insurrection January 6th over a year ago. What has it been now? 2 years? And it's really frustrating for me, but I keep wondering what starts a new storyline when it comes to writing a play. January 6th insurrection, many people have been writing about it in different ways, but are we going to see something on Broadway about it? Whether it's that, or maybe it's how some of our leaders, political leaders, are now being threatened, like what happened to Nancy Pelosi's husband, Sam Pelosi. You know, it's crazy. So I wonder, are those the things that are happening today, that we are living this life and it needs to be put on stage?
And it will be. I mean, if you think about the big events of history, you think about like the civil rights movement, you think about, Roe, you think about World War II, World War I, the Depression, all of those things. And you're right. I mean, the insurrection, January 6th was amazing. And I think there will be a lot of shows and a lot of stories set in that backdrop, with that backdrop, they're coming. I have to say, though, it does take a longer time for a theater to develop. Just the process is much longer. The writing and then the conception, the writing, and then the workshopping, because it's such a collaborative process and it requires so many people. I have no doubt that there are playwrights who have already written things. It's a matter of getting those things on their feet, you know.
Has the pandemic kind of quenched the taste for the artists that have been writing, the playwriters who have been bringing it forward? But has it changed how they are even working? Are they working faster? You know, I've always thought of them as fast and furious writers, right? Because they have so much to say and they got to get it out of their head and heart. However, with the pandemic, things have kind of slowed down. And I'm just wondering if you're hearing more about the playwrights writing more than ever.
Oh, I think they are. I mean, and I think the pandemic is a really good example because people learned and created new tools, new avenues. I know of playwriting groups that move online, for example, where they have like a weekly or a monthly reading online, which is quite remarkable. I think all of those things are afoot, and it's a matter. We since we're in the moment, we don't really know how the moment is going to shake out. Sometimes people like to wait a second as well, just to see what was that, and how are we living. I mean, for example, you mentioned January 6th, but It's for some people it's in the rearview mirror, but for others it's still happening, or so that's the thing. And where does a writer, an artist, where does a songwriter, where do you situate yourself in that situation? And how do you use it? And you don't necessarily have to comment on it directly. You could just set it in the background. The way like Les Mis, which is going to be coming up soon, at the Orpheum is set against the backdrop of the French Revolution. But it's, you know, and that's sort of the culminating event, but it's a story of justice and a story of individuals trying to do right and seeking redemption.
Yeah, and we may be looking at that piece from a totally different perspective because we are hearing the rallying cry from another side that says we are going to start a civil war, you know. So these are the times that you know, it's perfect timing for that to come forward because those of us who may be concerned about it or maybe even worried about it, losing sleep about it, you know, you realize that what we are seeing a culmination of could be things that we never, ever thought could take place again. But my mother used to tell me all the time, Geraldine, don't ever say it'll never happen again. If we let it happen, it's going to happen.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we are at a crucible or a critical time, and I read a lot, and sometimes I read a lot of what social media is saying and what other sources are saying, and I think there's an alarm just at the level of the rhetoric and the vitriol. And then, as you see, saw recently, people acting on that as well, you know?
Yeah. I just don't know if we're really serious about it, if we really understand how close we are to doomsday, you know? And I'm not talking about biblical doomsday, but in the sense of this country, you know, the United States. If we get people that don't believe in democracy anymore, don't believe that it's worth fighting for, we are up a creek. That's kind of how I look about it. So let me stop talking about doomsday, but I also want to talk to you. Seriously. I know
I think you're absolutely right. You know, and it's interesting. I argue what I do in terms of, and what the artists do in terms of theater is pretty critical because it's really about building citizenship, right?
Right.
And building understanding with each other, of each other, and having shared experiences. You know, when people declared war in Ukraine, it was a culture that they resorted to as a unifying thing. And it's a culture that they're fighting for. They're fighting for preserve their culture. Well, that's what the artists are doing. It's the work that the artists are doing. And, you know, of course, you mentioned playwrights, but it's also dancers. And it's also, you know, ballerinas and it's composers and it's painters and it's all of them. And that's what they're doing, creating for us a sense of who we are, giving us voice, giving us beauty, giving us aspiration, giving us all kinds of things that is worth all the effort of our society. And you know, obviously, you know, we're one of the greatest nations in history, but we're also very vulnerable as a nation. So that's the thing. And I like to think of it this way. We are at a crucible or a crucial moment where we have all kinds of changes happening. We have huge technological changes that, you know, some people feel alienated from. We have huge demographic changes that, you know, some people are afraid of. We have other types of changes afoot. So even the way we think, you know, it's like, it used to be that we wrote and thought by hand and longhand, and now we write and think by our thumbs on the keyboard of our phones, and the bent over figure looking over the phone is recognizable anywhere because that's what everyone is doing. And so fundamentally, consciousness itself is changing. And so when you're at a moment like this, we're very vulnerable because there's a lot of uncertainty and a lot of fear, and all of that could be exploited. And so you're right. We have to think of ourselves in terms of a community and what binds us together instead of what divides us.
And where are we going? I just, I'm always devastated when I read about Ukraine. I have a hard time going back to, or keep accepting those articles because it breaks my heart, right? And I remember when they first were being attacked and they would go to the theaters and find refuge and they would talk about the plays and create more plays. And I'm just wondering, in our time today, you know, are we also seeing more and more coming out of the souls of those who really care and want to put it on the stage? And should we put it on the stage? Who would come? Who wouldn't come? There used to be a time that we could really rely on those who present, because when they present, we come to make sure we take it in. And now I'm not sure that we're going to continue that. That it worries me, I have to tell you, that in some of the United States, we may see the loss of so much when it comes to music and art and books and so much more. I was at Costco the other day, and I cannot tell you how many books they have now, right? They have a ton of books on sale. And I keep looking, I walk down that long table and I go, my goodness, it's getting bigger and bigger, higher and higher. Now, it looks like that's great, or does it mean that we're not reading as much as we used to? Like, we don't even want to relive it. We don't want to rehear any of all the things that are happening right now in our country that are really awful.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably both, right? I mean, I think there's a huge appetite, and what you've hit on is something that's really key. And you mentioned the South and other areas that may not have the same language. Well, the things that give us the same language and give us the same experiences is the arts, right? You know that. It's like we have common experience. If we watch the Grammys or if we watch the Oscars, and every day, all of us are talking about the slap, you know, it's a bad thing, right? But we're at least having the same conversation. We have a common point of reference, and so I think some of what you have alluded to is the fracturing that's happened and how we're not all on the same page.
Not even close.
yeah. But I do believe, I mean, I think it's a process. And you know, I'm an optimist and sometimes a little naive about this stuff, but I do believe in sort of the redemptive power of the arts and the power to bring us all together. And yeah, you're right. You know, I mean, if 60,000 people see Les Mis or 100,000 people see Hamilton, it's not enough. It'd be great if more people, but we are still building something and building on that. And I'm optimistic for those people and I want more, you know, I want more to be able to experience the work and have that conversation, see great work, have great conversation about it, and build our citizenry, a common weal among the citizenship. That's hard to say that because you know artists they just want to do their work and they you know the it's speaking of a larger. I wouldn't say failure. It's more a larger challenge that we don't have the same media, for example, that everyone can look to. And so there's some people in one information bubble who have a reference to other things that other people in another information bubble don't have. And it's really quite remarkable. And you know, it's like separate worlds. And I get that, you know, I speak to, you know, and it's always existed in the sense that young people and old people have different ways of interacting and with media and culture and all of that. But this is different in that the fracturing now is so extreme. So I hope that theater can bridge that, you know, help bridge that. So
I have one final question for you, and I know we are very close to having to take a break.
By the way, this is very thoughtful, and it's very much about like you know, sort of the resilience that we build through the arts, right? The resilience that we build through culture, and how citizenship is built through common understanding, common language, shared experiences. I mean, it's really wonderful. I mean, I know I'm speaking almost like it's almost like a kind of a civic sermon, but it's really, really good, and it's really, really important, you know?
Is important. My challenge is that many people don't believe in it anymore. And that's that last question I want to talk to you about, because inflation, which, you know, oh my goodness, I've been talking to everybody about this so-called inflation. But it blows my mind. What we need right now is, you know, a lot of joy in our lives, a lot of peace in our lives, settle ourselves, right? Yet this inflation thing is making everyone antsy and angry, and they don't know what to do with this. And then all of a sudden they say, well, I'm going to take my children to go see some really great Christmas shows this year. I know I said that about my grandchildren. I'm going to take them. Then you start looking around and you find out some tickets are $100 per child, per individual. Yeah. And I'm blown away by that. You would think if we're going through a very difficult time as a country, that they would at least stop and say, hey, we got to pull back, you guys, so that more people can come and see this show that aren't usually able to see the show at this cost, because it just breaks my heart. It would cost that much money, and so many children especially won't be able to see it. How do you feel about
that? I agree. I mean, I have talked to some of the theater sort of fiscal managers, if you will, and they're on the receiving end of all of it the same way everyone else is, in terms of supply chain issues, this, that, the other, and all their costs have gone up. It's an insane, insane time. And I don't know what to say. I mean, I wish all of our stuff has gone up. You know, you buy a small bag of groceries and
one plastic bag is $65.
How much is that? And,
seriously. You know? Seriously, but I have to blame myself. I got to blame myself. I'm not going to the grocery stores I should be going to, because, you know, they are the ones that are really trying to save money for families. No, where do I go? Lunds and Byerly's is closer. And I finally said to myself, wait, I'm paying what for eggs? Wait a minute. Wait, Geraldine, just wait. I'm working hard at it. I know we got to take a break, and I'm so happy that you were able to join me this long tonight. I'm just thrilled when you're on. Just thrilled. So good to hear from you, Rohan. I wanted to talk to you about sticks, but we'll save that for another time. And just know that I'm grateful that you are a part of all that we do in this country, in this state, when it comes to the arts. So thank you.
I am honored, and I thank you too. And I throw it back at you. You know, you are an enthusiastic supporter of this work, and both as a sort of exponent, but also as an artist yourself. So I love that, and I thank you as well for all the great work that you're doing.
By the way, I'm doing a Thanksgiving show at the Dakota. So if you are available with the family, come on down.
Is it on Thanksgiving night?
On Thanksgiving night, 7 p.m.
Wonderful. I think someone's going to roll me out in a wheelbarrow because I'm going to be full.
I know. Me and you both, darling. Me and you both. Take care of yourself, Rohan. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. We're going to take a break, everyone. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. I know we're going to take a break in just a moment to do some weather, but I wanted to let you know that I am so grateful that you stick and stay with us. I don't know about you, but sometimes it gets hard to be grateful. So if you want to really hear a lot about what that takes, the anger of it, the happiness of it, the joy of it, then definitely join me on Thanksgiving night, Thursday, the 24th of November at 7 o'clock at the Dakota. Bring your family down to have dinner with us there. And I'm just telling you, I'm really looking forward to it, because I had a lot to say and a whole lot to sing. So hope we'll see you there. All right, coming up next is the weather.
Throughout the 60s and 70s.
What's up, everybody? Guess who's hosting a new podcast? No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith. Listen as I pull back the curtain on everything beyond the world of sports, interviewing influential guests, outspoken celebrities, and thought leaders across the political, financial,
Get fast, reliable speeds at home and on the go with internet and mobile from Xfinity. Now through December 21st, new customers can get 1.2 gig internet plus XFi complete with unlimited data included. It's just $50 a month for 2 full years with no annual contract when you add Xfinity Mobile with unlimited data at regular rates. Go to Xfinity.com/faster, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing and auto pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. Xfinity Mobile requires Xfinity Internet. After promo, regular rates apply. Actual speeds vary.
Oh my goodness, it is now 9:37 here at WCCO. Welcome back, everyone, to Center Stage, All Things Arts and Entertainment. And this particular group, oh my gosh, I'm so excited to be able to speak with them. They're like family to me, and they're called None Above. Now, I know you guys have heard me talk about them so much over the years since I've known them, and Javita works with them too, and we just love them. And they are joining us tonight to talk about all that's happening with them, and they are just being blessed beyond, and I hope you'll enjoy the conversation. Hello, family. How are you?
Hey!
There they all are. Okay, just go ahead and shout your names out. You go first, Cadence.
Hi, I'm Cadence. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Hi, everybody. I'm Cadence. I'm the lead singer and bass player. Hi, I'm Maddie. I play keyboard and sing backup.
Hi, I'm Bennett. I am a guitar player, and I sing backup. Hi, I'm Wisdom. I play the drums, and I'm also a backup singer.
Oh, man, that's awesome. I just want to start screaming for the band. It's like, oh, my God. You guys are going to get there. You're going to get to the point where people are, like, screaming your name out. Are you expecting that?
I honestly, yes. I'm hoping. Yeah, I was going to say, it would be amazing.
Yeah, you know, when you put it out there, believe it. Seriously, believe it.
Right.
Because the things you think would never, ever happen to you. It's just shocking. I remember writing down my objection or my goal in life for my first job when I landed here in 1976 in Minnesota. And I just wrote that. Mm-hmm. I thought it sounded smart. And did you know my voice has been heard all over the world? Even last year, a song was released in England that did really well. And I'm still blown away by it.
Wow.
So I'm telling you, when you think about it, would you guys say, yes, okay, Geraldine, we're going to just believe it and act like it's around the corner? That's what I would do.
Yes, yes. We're going to believe it, yeah.
And congratulations on the song.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So here you have the show coming up at Crooners. I am so excited. I was wondering, when are they going to be at Crooners? Thank goodness this is happening November 9th. And are you excited? And if so, I want to know what type of music you are thinking to play. Are you going to go back to the very first album or do you have new things as well?
What a great question. Okay, so yes, of course, we're extremely excited. Also, we know you recently played there, so we're wondering, like, you know, what the vibe is like. But we're planning on playing definitely some older first album stuff, and also newer things. We're working on an EP right now, so I think almost all the songs on our EP we're playing at Crooners.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I intend to be there. I'm really hoping that I can come. Here's the thing. No matter what the age group is in the rooms there at Crooners, the three rooms that they have to offer, they are going to love you.
Yeah.
They are truly going to love you. And the main thing at any place like the Dakota or Crooners is that you are authentically yourselves. That's it. That's what we're looking for. People that are real. And we can relate to that because we are real. You know what I mean? So, Maddie, I know that you have really sparked it, honey. You have really grown tremendously since I met you. I mean, you're looking like this fashionista on stage. You know, it's like she's a fashion guru. You know, you got heels on I would never, ever put on. And then I look at Bennett. Bennett, you've grown so much. And I'm curious to know from Maddie and Bennett, how do you feel about where you are now when it comes to your music?
I really enjoy it. I'm not the biggest fan of performing yet. I feel like I'll get there. But I really enjoy writing and creating. And I love where we are now with that. It feels like we're really pulling in a lot of like things that we each individually like and making them work. And so the songs we're producing, everybody enjoys, like genuinely enjoys playing. So, yeah.
That's the stuff. That's it right there. That's what makes the salad work. Okay, how about you, Bennett?
Yeah, I'm really liking the direction of our music. For a while, you know, I kind of made music because it seemed like that was the thing to do when you're in a band. But now I feel like I'm making music because it's what's on my mind, and the music that I make is like what's on my heart. And I like the outcome. You know, I like the process, and I like the final project. You know, these songs on this new EP, they're like, they're from the heart. Like, I've contributed lyrics to them. I've brainstormed. You know, I've sat in my room at night, and I've just, like, played out like little riffs I could do to just liven the song up. I really feel like they're like, spawned from me as a person rather than the idea of creating music because you're a musician.
Right. So now your heart is talking. That's what it is. It's talking to you. It's telling you, yeah, go for it. And of course, Wisdom, I have to ask you, because I believe that you are the anchor here. You know, you've been so quiet for so many years, and you have now just opened up. I mean, every time I watch a video, like that song Appreciate, oh my God, that song is smoking. Is it number one yet? Is it on the Billboard charts yet? And if not, why?
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, what do you say, just, Wisdom?
For the past few years, it's been a really interesting journey for myself when it comes to how I just open my mouth and when I speak. Most of it just deals with a lot of, like, you know, insecurity. And I'm kind of, you know, getting a lot better with that. And I think now I'm starting to really kind of grow into who I am now. And that's starting to show as well in my vocals, I think.
I think not just your vocals, but your playing. You have always played from your heart. I've always, from the moment I met you guys, I always said Wisdom is doing it from the heart. It's just in his eyes, it's in your soul, and it's beautiful. And now I can see it in every one of you. And I'm just curious to know, how are you preparing as you are moving forward? You're going to be in Nashville. When is that, Cadence?
Yes, we're going to be in Nashville. We're playing at Cabana Taps on the 15th and 16th of November. And we have a showcase on the 17th. And
awesome.
So our preparing for that is basically, we practice every day for a couple of hours. And we really just, we run the set, but at first we have to take the time to sort of, you know, mold the show that we think is going to, you know, serve the audience best. And so we take some time before each practice to kind of just check in, like, you know, what song is, you know, should come after this one, and, you know, and how do we, like, make that impact just pow. So, but yeah, it's just a lot of rehearsing, a lot of performance work and whatnot. It's really, really, really fun.
When it's when your heart is involved in it, you guys get excited, of course.
Exactly.
You're ready to do it. At the same time, how do you prepare for the arrival when you are to walk on that stage in Nashville, which is, you know, a stage, any stage in Nashville is just powerful, right? You never know who's going to be,
yeah,
in the audience. Even in just small, tiny bars, you just never know who's in that room. And all of a sudden, you start getting calls and people start coming over saying, we really need to talk to you, you know, that sort of thing. And I'm just curious to know how you guys are preparing for that. Even if it doesn't happen, expect it to.
Wow. That's a really, really that's a wonderful question. You know, a lot of times for me, when new things happen in music, the preparation, it kind of just feels like happens as I'm experiencing it. So our dad has always sort of talked to us about the work it's going to take to do and be our best. And, you know, we can always improve and we're still getting there, of course. But really, the preparation just comes, like, it's kind of lifelong, really. I don't intentionally prepare, I don't believe. I think I just prepare as I'm living and working in music and performing.
And do you feel the same? Is that was Cadence, right? Because, you know, Cadence and Maddie sound alike.
Cadence.
Okay, thank you.
We do.
And then Maddie, do you agree with that?
I think that's true for some people. Like, my brain processes differently. So I would say that I also don't prepare, but it's not because I feel like I'm being prepared. I things happen to me, like I'm watching it happen, then I process afterwards. So things will start, like, I'll walk on stage through the show and be like, wow, I was really nervous before the show, but I didn't feel nervous. I just realized that I was afterwards. Like, does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Just think of everybody in the audience as naked. You know, that's what happened for me. Seriously, I literally did that. Someone suggested it to me and said, Geraldine, you get so nervous. Just look at the audience and imagine every one of them naked. And all of a sudden, it went away. It just went away. Thank God, because I don't want to see people naked in the audience, right? So, Just saying, right? Yes. Just saying. So you guys may be there, and I can imagine what it would be like if someone came to you, some big name, and said, "Hey, we want you guys to stay for a year and start recording here, and let's introduce you to everybody." I mean, are you going to say yes right away? What do you say, Wisdom?
I'll say, "Oh, that sounds, that sounds really fun. Talk to my management."
Exactly. Talk to my management. Don't talk to me about it.
Right. But what if they do want to know how you feel about it? In other words, these are the things you know that you know already to be prepared for, but it's not easy to prepare for it.
Yeah.
You know, when I met Stevie Wonder's manager, I freaked out. I just want you to know. I was shaking. He was going to introduce me to Stevie Wonder, and I think I was shaking too much, and I spent time talking to him. So I just want you to know, you guys have everything that it takes. You really do, to make it huge. I mean, I'm expecting to see you at number one. I'm just looking forward to it. So when you get to Nashville, just think about that and know that you are loved and that you have what it takes. God has already instilled everything you need. Okay, I'm going to shut up now. Do you have any final thoughts?
Well, first of all, bless you. Thank you so much. And I want, my final thoughts are that our EP is coming out very, very, very soon. So please keep a lookout for that, everybody. And if you happen to be in Nashville on the 15th and 16th of November, come and see us at Cabana Taps. Maddie, do you have any last words?
Yes. My birthday is the 15th of November. We're performing. I spend my birthday in Nashville. We're performing. So
that's awesome birthday.
I have a very nice birthday. Yeah. Oh, and then also, don't forget, everybody, to please watch episode 3 of Bob's World coming out November 4th. That is our brother's animated cartoon series that he put on YouTube. Bob's World at Wizzy MMD 70. So watch that.
It's wonderful. It's just wonderful. I love you all so much. Tell your parents I said hello. And just know you've got what it takes. You've got what it takes.
Thank you so much.
All right. Have a great evening.
You too. Bye. Thank you.
Bye, you guys. That is None Above. If you don't know who they are, all you got to do is go to their website, None Above. You can find videos of them. Please go in and see them at Crooners on November 9th, and you'll know exactly why I feel this way about them. All right, everyone, we got to take a break. And Philip Brunel and Vocal Essence is joining me next.
Throughout the 60s and 70s,
what's up, everybody? Guess who's hosting a new podcast? No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith. Listen as I pull back the curtain on everything beyond the world of sports, interviewing influential guests, outspoken celebrities, and thought leaders across the political, financial.
Throughout the 60s and 70s.
Get fast, reliable speeds at home and on the go with internet and mobile from Xfinity. Now through December 21st, new customers can get 1.2 gig internet plus XFi complete with unlimited data included. It's just $50 a month for 2 full years with no annual contract when you add Xfinity Mobile with unlimited data at regular rates. Go to Xfinity.com/faster, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing and auto pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. Xfinity Mobile requires Xfinity Internet. After promo, regular rates apply. Actual speeds vary.
Welcome back to Center Stage, All Things Arts and Entertainment. And oh my gosh, it is time for Philip Brunel of Vocal Essence. And guess what is happening? Welcome. How are you, sir?
My dear, I am just fine. Thank you. Nice to hear your voice.
It's great to hear yours too, Philip. Okay, so an event 800 years in the making. Tell us more.
Well, there are a number of boy choirs in the world, but I can tell you that this choir from Spain, Montserrat, is absolutely at the top of the list. It's taken me 8 years to make it happen, but they are coming here to Minneapolis November 11th for a concert at the Basilica, and believe me, the sound of these boys, 40 boys, age 7 to 13, it's fantastic. It would just melt everyone's mind. It's so beautiful.
It is quite remarkable when I started reading about the Montserrat and how long it's been around. It's really just incredible. How in the world do you prepare for bringing them here? Do they travel all over the world?
Well, they do, but they have never been to the Midwest. And when I heard about them 8 years ago, I said, okay, we got to bring them to Minneapolis now. And it just took, well, there was COVID and other things, but finally we made it work. So they're coming here on Friday night. They're also going to be doing a concert up at St. John's Abbey in Collegeville, and they're going to be doing a concert in Pennsylvania. But that's it. Three stops, and I'm just thrilled that we finally have made it happen.
I'm so excited about it, and this is great because we see that the prices are reasonable, more reasonable than I expected, so we appreciate that. Tickets are $25 and $45, and they are available right now online. What website should the people go to get these tickets?
If they just go to Vocal Essence, VocalEssence.org, they can find the tickets. If they have any questions, call the office, 612-547-1451, and those questions can be answered. Believe me, it's just an amazing choir. I'm so thrilled that this has finally happened. I was in Spain 3 weeks ago and heard them, and it was like, oh, yes, yes, we're going to do it.
Well, it's one of the oldest out of Europe, and I'm excited that they're coming here. I just want to know, are you going to be conducting as well?
Well, they have their own conductor, but there might be a little surprise in the works. That's all I'll tell you.
That's all you're going to tell me? That's not fair. Not fair at all. But I'm so excited. I'm going to do my best. I know that is what we do. I know. And I cannot wait to see this. I really want to be in the audience, in the room where it happens. I think people are just going to be blown away by their vocals. Okay, tell me if there's anything else you want people to know.
I just want them to know that they shouldn't miss it, because I don't know when, if ever, these 40 boys will be coming back to the Twin Cities. It's absolutely a one-time, a special treat for everyone.
Yeah, but knowing you, I think it's going to happen. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey,
love you so much.
Thanks for calling.
All right.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for sticking and staying. Coming up next is the Mom and Michael Hour. Yes, he's here.
What's up, everybody? Guess who's hosting a new podcast? No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith. Listen as I pull back the curtain on everything beyond the world of sports, interviewing influential guests, outspoken celebrities, and thought leaders across the political, financial.
From abortion to inflation, the issues in our local elections have far-reaching implications. We're breaking these issues down on The Home Stretch, Odyssey's new original podcast. I'm Doug Sovereign. Each week, I'll talk to a range of experts to give you a no-fuss 15-minute download of the most pressing issues on this year's ballots. Listen to The Home Stretch on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Throughout the 60s and 70s,
get fast, reliable speeds at home and on the go with internet and mobile from Xfinity. Now through December 21st, new customers can get 1.2 gig internet plus XFi complete with unlimited data included. It's just $50 a month for 2 full years with no annual contract when you add Xfinity Mobile with unlimited data at regular rates. Go to Xfinity.com/faster, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing and auto pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. Xfinity Mobile requires Xfinity Internet. After promo, regular rates apply. Actual speeds vary.